Hey everyone, this is Adam, the referee from Two Past Midnight. Real quick before the show starts, I wanted to say thank you to everyone that's been listening so far. If you would, whatever platform you're listening to us on, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, Good Pods, if you would, give us a 5-star review on there. That really helps us out. Also, we have a Patreon. The link to that will be in the show notes, so you can find it there. We do have some merch that's going to be on Redbubble. There's also a link to that in the show notes. So I just wanted to point that out real quick. Next, I know that in this episode, there are a couple rules mistakes I believe I made. One of them is going to be about mobility. So I'm pretty sure moving forward, we're going to have to do that a little bit differently. And then the other one is another action in combat I think we got wrong. So going forward, I'm going to have to tweak a couple things because I think we did a couple of those things wrong. So if you catch it, I just wanted to forewarn you. I kind of caught that in the editing and realized that I think I did a couple things wrong. So thank you and please enjoy.
If you or someone you love is struggling with combat-related PTSD, please call 877-717-7873. Again, that number is 877-717-PTSD. Or you can visit online PTSDUSA.org. That's PTSD Foundation of America. If you call, you'll be immediately connected to a combat veteran who understands those experiences. And if you go to the website, they have in-person groups scattered throughout the United States. And if there isn't a peer group near you, they have online peer groups. Again, that's PTSD Foundation of America. If you're struggling, you don't have to go it alone.
Previously on Two Past Midnight.
I have a character who can't shoot distance and nobody can hear him when he tries to help the rest of the people. I didn't have options.
All right. So the sniper comes up to the edge of that tower. And it's really just like a makeshift silo that they've retrofitted into a guard tower that they've been using. This is the same tower you came up to that first day in the village.
Mm-hmm.
Sniper gets up at the top, glances around, sees you running towards the base of the tower, pulls their scope up in a rush, sights in as quick as they can, just muscle memory, and squeezes the trigger. So we open on the inside of a Dairy Queen. We see a woman with three kids sitting at a table. Then a man comes walking up to the table and sets down their order. And it's Cole.
All right, I think we got everything. Everything was out. And if you know, the rule is if you eat a clean plate, of course, we're a Dairy Queen.
Okay, Dad. Okay. And all the kids, like, you know, they're all eating their food. They probably have, like, some sort of chicken strips or some shit like that, I'm assuming. Do they have chicken strips at DQ?
They do.
Oh, cool. Well, then I'm not totally way off.
Ah, honey, these are... You know what? These are the days you remember. We've been through quite a lot, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. So do you think you're going to get... Are you re-enlisting or are you getting out? Like,
I think I'm done. The late nights, the getting shipped off to God knows where, all the things I put my body through, my mind through, my everything. Why would I ever want to leave? I mean, I was just addicted to the service for the longest time. I've put in everything I need to put in. I can't, you know... Shy of World War III, there's no reason. I've got nothing left to prove or nothing left to do. So I think we can get back to this family thing. You know, I can take a little bit off your plate. I can go back to normal, get a job down at the plant. Yeah, I've already got that set up, and I think we can just...
Well, I mean, or there's the GI Bill. You have that, right?
Yeah, I've always wanted to do some stuff with computers. always, you know, you always say I look so good in a suit. So, I mean, I think...
You do. You do look good in a suit.
I can just let go of all I've put in my time. I think it's time to raise the kids and just, you know, forget fighting for a while.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be nice. She reaches over and puts her hand on your hand. And, one of the kids knocks his drink over. He's like, Dad! Dad, she knocked my drink over!
That's it. No peanut butter parfait for you, mister.
No, Dad! And we cut back over to the village. And we got a... What's the rule? What did we figure out it was? All modified and shit? It
two
was a
tens.
B and a B? Yeah. Alright. Here we go. And I actually have to let my dogs in because I just realized they were outside and I heard them barking. So let me open up this character sheet and you guys can vamp about how much of an asshole I am for pausing this moment, and I'll probably leave it in.
Oh. Gotta open the character sheet for your Superman Soviet guy.
I'm gonna throw up.
You know what the crazy part is? He may not even be Soviet.
That's true. He's from Dallas.
Not originally. He's just, you know, lived there for a time. Oh my god.
Could be Murph Spotter who hooked up with Yuri a long time ago.
Could be. Could be.
Yeah. Could be a lady. We're just assuming it's
Anna. It's Anna.
Yeah, yeah. She was not happy.
Anna shows back up.
It's that kid who I didn't give the skateboard to.
He's very mad.
It's Old Scar.
Did you bring up the character sheet for your super soldier?
Me? I'm just rolling it off the basic one. So, you know.
The winter. So wait.
Funny thing is, so I went to let the dogs in because they were barking outside. And then as soon as I let them inside, the garage door opens. They started barking more. I was like, oh, fuck, now I got to give it a couple minutes. Sam came home. Like right then. I was like,
that's perfect timing.
So I gave her a kiss, told her there was half a pizza in the fridge. And all right. So we're rolling a B and a B. That's 2d10. It is not a called shot. It's not a, because they're just aiming. So after this, I'm going to have to roll for hit location. And then go from there. Here we go.
Oh,
no!
That's two successes.
That's a crit, and that's...
That is a crit.
That's a 9 and a 6.
All right, roll me a d6, Kyle. If it hits you in the, if it hits you in the chest or the head, that's a crit. It's a crit no matter where it hits, actually, either way. Because one success, it would have reduced it below the crit level because it's a 3 damage, 3 crit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So it's still a crit no matter what. But it's not enough to be roll twice, take the worst.
4.
Chest. Roll a d10. You can draw this out if you want to, as long as you want.
Holy no! No! Oh, holy no! Shit! Holy oh, shit! No! Holy no,
no,
shit!
No, no, no!
Oh, holy oh, shit! No! No! That's a 10! That's a 10! Oh, God!
Kyle.
You want to tell me what it looks like?
No. Kyle. Kyle, what's it look like?
This is yours.
Yeah, Kyle, thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you for GMing.
Sorry.
Kyle.
Sorry.
Hold on. I can't remember what a 10 is. 10's a heart, isn't it?
Yeah, 10's an impaled heart. That's the same thing that got Clark.
Yeah.
Right through the heart.
So, he's hoping he timed everything right, and he's... And he's just trucking it up. He thinks if he's got a grenade in his hand, and he thinks if he can make it close to this tower, he can just toss one up and maybe do what he needs to do to save everybody else. Because, you know, he's still got the arm and a splint. He doesn't know what else to do. He's out of options, and he just starts trucking up. And at the last second, he looks up, and he sees just a glint And he kind of holds his breath and thinks, uh-oh, this is going to be close. And then just as he feels it right in the chest and just thunk, and he just drops.
Holy shit.
So that happened.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, I did not necessarily. This, man. This is the first original character, by the way, of, like, the original party that has died. I just want to point that out. Like, the first, like, original one.
Yep. OG, instant death, yeah. Heart impaled.
Yep.
The spook's dead.
Look, y'all, combat's deadly.
Yeah.
So you guys hear a shot ring out. The rest of you guys hear a pop. But on your turn, you'll get to roll it. All right. So Cole was almost the last person in the initiative order. But he's not. It was actually Stanislav is the next person in the initiative order. So Stanislav, you hear a shot ring out. I mean, you're still in the church, so whatever. But you hear a shot ring out.
As far as Stanislav has been hearing, I mean, he's heard the 249 going off. He's heard the 50 cal going off. He's heard other rounds going off. Like, he knows this is a firefight, but his buddy Harrison has decided to get up and start trying to get into the fight. So he's going to follow Harrison.
No, Harrison, we stay in the church. He's fine. You know, we stay here. He's safer.
But he's going to move up into the same hex as Harrison.
Murph, roll me a
recon.
Recon at a. Hold on. Plus two.
Two successes.
You notice when that shot goes off, that tower that's to the northeast, you notice someone pops up, pop, takes that shot, and drops back. Basically, like, comes up over top of the not barricade, like the low wall there, the cover, like, mm-hmm. takes a shot, and you see Cole run across, you see Cole drop, and then you see the sniper drop back down behind full cover. And that's what you see. Your turn.
Cole's down. And he is going to put Overwatch on that hex.
Mm-hmm.
Tower to the northeast.
Emmett. You hear him yell that. You're only 20 meters away. You're close enough.
All right. Emmett will... Hearing the shot, hearing that, we are still running on instinct and adrenaline, so we are going to stand up, because I was down, stand up, and just start heading for the tower. So, four hexes towards the tower, and then I'm going to go ahead and give two mobility rolls. Just giving everything I can give to head for that tower. That'd be two successes. Three successes. So four, five, six, seven hexes. Heading towards the tower.
Mm-hmm. Is that in total with both actions? Is that what that is?
Yes. That puts me basically right behind the building to the south. So I've got about another 40, one, two, three, four, five, six, 60 meters to the actual tower, and I'm behind a building.
Right. Okay. God damn, that's fast. All right. Actually, did you take a negative on that for the debris ones you would have gone through, like, here? And the one you started off?
No, I did not, so...
Yeah, you should have taken... Hold on, you should take...
It would have been... -1 or -2 for those.
Negative two. Negative two.
1, 2, 3.
So it'd be a negative two on the first one, not the second one.
Okay.
So it might bump you back with that one not going, is what I was saying. So just re-roll the first one at a negative two. Okay. Which would be 2d6.
Yep. Yep. So I'm back all one. Right. Or back... Yeah.
Two.
Two.
Yep. Okay.
So we're there. Fantastic.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Okay. It's their turn. Okay. All right. Harrison.
We gotta get out there, Miss Stan. We gotta get out there. And so he is going to run out the front door and slide down into a crouch next to Murph. Murph, where's he at? What's happening? What's happening? I hear gunshots. And so he'll have cover behind the truck next to Murph. And that's going to be his turn.
Okay. All right. Cole. Oh, shit. Sorry. Seriously? Sorry, that literally was just me reading.
That's so rude.
I'm sorry.
So rude.
Too soon. Too soon.
He's done that to me a couple times, though. But yeah, rude.
So we cut back over to Cole. We see Cole. He's sitting in a Dairy Queen all by himself. It's just empty. And outside, there's just like a mist, right? Like just a fog. Like you can almost make out like the shadows like of cars possibly in the parking lot. It's quiet. It's just like that uncomfortable silence, just heavy silence. The door opens up and his wife walks in with his three young children. They're about the same age as they were in that flashback. She walks in and almost nurturing way, she looks at Cole and she says, "Are you ready to go?"
"Yeah. Yeah, I think I've had about enough. Let's head on out."
"Come on. The house is ready for you."
Cole gets up, takes a couple bucks out of his pocket and sets it on the table. Grabs the youngest kid, slings him on his shoulder, and starts heading for the door.
The door closes with the pneumatic closing mechanism. We hear like a bing as it closes. And we cut back over to Stanislav. Was that bad, Jeremy? Was that inappropriate?
No, that was... Wow. Hold on. Fuck me up, man. So, Stanislav is trying to catch up with Harrison. So... It's to move within side. A slow action, I'm sorry. Slow.
It is a fast action, and you get, like, per hex. One fast action per hex.
Okay. So he's going to come out next to the other side of the Humvee and drop prone. So he's just up there with Harrison and Murph.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's the end of the initiative order, and we're... What do you say when you slide in beside Harrison and Murph?
Anything? No. He already tried to convince Harrison to stay inside, but it's... All he's thinking right now is just that he's got to get out there, and he has to stay with them to help out the best he can. It's at this point, the choice has been made, and he's going to go with it.
All right, Murph, you're up. It went a whole round, and you have not seen that sniper pop back up yet.
So he's looking through the scope on the top of that tower. And so he's keeping overwatch on that. Out of curiosity, gameplay-wise, would that be considered a slow aim if there's a pop-up?
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what it is, because you've done overwatch on it, so it counts as slow aim.
Yep.
So if the sniper had popped up last turn, after your turn, you wouldn't have been able to take the shot because you didn't have the slow action to take the shot. You didn't have that slow action till this turn. So, mechanically, that's how that works.
We know he's not going to pop up, but Murph doesn't know that. So, still looking through the scope, he doesn't remove his eye from the scope. He tells those two, the shot came from the tower in the northeast. I've got my sights on him in case he pops up, but there's a good chance that he may have taken off like he did last time. And he's just going to keep his aim on, like he's trained to do. He is aiming on that target in case that he pops his head up.
Mm-hmm. Emmett, you're up.
All right, Emmett is going to move up to and do a mobility. There shouldn't be any negative. I'm just there beside the building.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's two successes. That's two hexes. Two more. I will then
Hold up. You're increasing elevation, which is going to affect your mobility roll and your movement speed. And you went through brush, which I think actually does also affect your mobility speed. Your mobility. That's why you should let me know which route you're going before you make those mobility rolls.
The scrub is a negative one.
Yeah, that's a negative one. And
but elevation change. I thought that was only when you were in it already.
No. Movement's going to go through it, you're going to take the worst of whatever it is.
I got you.
That'll be the one that applies. I don't remember what the elevation, how that affects the movement. So we got to stop for a second and look that up.
I got it.
Thank you.
Moving into a hex of higher terrain counts as moving two hexes instead of one. You cannot move half a hex, so any unused movement is forfeited. This means you must roll mobility to crawl up a hill.
Yep. There you go.
Okay, so I need to re-roll at a negative one for the brush that I went through?
Right.
Okay.
And your movement will get you to this hex? Like the next one, like two movement would get you there, like one fast action, but it's going to be a negative on the mobility roll, and you could theoretically with another fast action go all the way to the top of the hill, but then that's the rest of your action economy. Or if you make the mobility roll and get at least one more hex out of the mobility roll, it'll take you to the top, like right there. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. So I already moved my two. So then we are mobility roll, no successes, right? So then no extra hexes. So then from where I'm at, I can't see the tower, correct?
No.
All right, so then we're going to have to move another two, which will get me to what, here?
That means you'd have to get two successes to get all the way to the top of the hill. If you don't, then you're only like, yeah.
Okay, but am I still rolling at a negative or am I at my regular?
Yes. That was for the brush. I guess you shouldn't have taken it on the first one. I thought that was your second square. I apologize. So.
Well, then if that's the case, I already had two. So you tell me
Roll this one without the negative. Roll this one. One of them should have had the negative. One of them shouldn't. Roll this one without the negative.
Well, but the thing is if the first one didn't have the negative, then I'm where I wanted to be to basically drop prone and take overwatch on the door.
Yes, but you would have been moving through that, is what I'm saying. Like, you should have, like, you would have been moving through it if you had passed it. So, okay. Like, it should affect
that, is what I'm saying. I got you. Okay, yeah. Here we go.
So, I guess it should affect this one, too, but I'm not going to double it up. One success. There you go. So
that gets me basically 20 feet from the front of the tower. And I will drop prone where I'm at.
Okay. Hold on one second. Only because I see this going south real fast, and I want to make sure that I did that one little bit right.
The first roll should have had the negative one. The second roll should have been no negatives.
Right, and he did. That's exactly how we did it then. So it was what we did. Okay. All right, so you're up there and you drop prone? Is that what you said? Or you're standing?
Nope, right where I'm at, I drop prone.
Okay. So... fucking hell, this is fucking crazy. All right, you see... dude come out... from the tower. From that door right there, 20 meters away from you. And... yeah. Gonna take a quick shot, I guess. Without any aiming. Or... and you're prone. So that's a negative 3 because you're prone. Right? Negative 1 for prone. Negative 2 for the quick shot. Yes. Okay.
Target is prone in... but not in same hex as negative 1.
Yeah, negative 1. Yeah, that's what I said. I'm saying negative 3 total because of the quick shot, too. So.
Gotcha. Yep.
All right, here we go.
Oh, fuck.
One success. Emmett, roll a d6.
Right. Six is... 3.
That's chest. That means you're wearing a flak.
Yes.
He's also prone.
That doesn't matter. You can still get hit in the chest when you're prone. That's the difference between cover and prone. Cover is a negative on the shot. Prone is a negative to the shot, but does not affect the hit location. If you're partial cover behind something, it affects the hit location.
Gotcha.
Roll a d10, Brian. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not a crit. You only take 2 points of damage, so it's not a crit.
Right.
Because it was only 1 success. Mm-hmm. So it's not a crit. 2 points of damage.
Yep.
Coolness under fire.
And roll coolness under fire.
Oh.
Nice.
Motherfucker.
Hey, man.
There's the Emmett mojo.
Emmett lives!
Emmett tanks it.
Oh, gosh!
Hey, Brian... I'm going to text you something. Because this is the first opportunity someone's had at something, a bit of information, and I want to text it to you instead of putting it in here.
I'm going
to
throw up.
Turns out this is a 7-year-old boy.
Harrison, it's your turn.
I'm assuming Harrison hears those shots.
Yes.
But can't see shit.
Nope. No, you can't see the shooter from there. Because the building and the elevation and the foliage.
Yeah, but we do know that Emmett ran off that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you saw Emmett go up the hill. You saw Cole drop that way. Yes.
Whatever you texted Brian, it killed him.
Oh, I know it did. And I knew it would. And it's fucking amazing. Go ahead. Sorry. So what does Harrison do?
Okay, so... I'm going to go help Mr. Emmett. And he just bolts. So, movement 1, 2. He's going to try to get there as fast as he can. So now, mobility roll.
What direction are you intending on going through? Where are you going?
Well, he just went to north.
Okay. Now, from here, what if you get successes, what route are you going? What's the next hex you're going to move into?
Across the street to the building to the northeast. The burnt out building.
Okay. So around the foliage one, basically.
Northeast, then north. So around the tree, not through it.
Okay. All right. That's what I need to know. If you're going to go through terrain, it's going to affect your mobility. That's all I was asking.
3 successes.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
I feel like we have firmly established that Harrison, if nothing, is a fucking runner.
No. Mm-hmm. Harrison is Forrest Gump in every way, shape, and form.
So does that mean 3 movement from there?
That is 3 more hexes, yes. And then you still have another fast action.
3.
Unless you had dropped prone when you went out there, and then it took a fast action to stand up.
I said he took a knee next to Murph.
That counts as if you're doing that kind of thing where you're like, then yeah.
Okay, so he's there now. That's his movement.
Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do when you get there? Do you want to drop prone?
Take partial cover behind the rubble.
You don't have the action economy to do that. You can only drop prone. It's a fast action to take partial cover.
Okay, he's just going to stand there with his AK pointed in the northeast direction.
I mean, dropping prone's free. I'm just letting you know.
But standing up is not.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to let you know so that if mm-hmm. you take a shot, you'll know why.
Yep. It's still, to him, it still seems far away, even if it may be in range.
Yeah. Stanislav, it's your turn.
Stanislav is going to go, Harrison, no! And he stands up for his fast action. And then he is going to sprint up behind Harrison as fast as he can go. So two squares or two hexes. And then he's going to roll mobility to catch up to Harrison. Which straight, he's going across blacktop, so it should be okay.
Yep. You want to push? Oh, you can't push it. Never mind.
Nope, can't push it. That's a... That is a one on the die, so nope. That's as far as he gets. He's an old man, sort of.
Murphy, it's your turn. And no, you can't see anything.
Okay, I was curious about the elevation.
I mean, you saw Emmett go to the top of the hill and drop prone, but like once you're talking about that elevation, like, yeah.
What if he climbs and on top, stands on the hood of the vehicle?
It's still the foliage in between you and there.
Okay.
That would block the sight, is the thing.
I gotcha. So he was sitting there with, or standing there with the sniper rifle on the hood of the vehicle trying to get sight. So he is going to run as well.
Well, wait, so you climbed up on the truck to try to get sight, and now you're going to move.
No, I get... Okay.
Because that would be...
That's the
stand
movement.
Up, he climb was already, on top. That would be your whole turn.
Yeah, like, he was already taking partial cover behind it, I think.
Under it, saying. If I remember correctly.
No, that was before. He was standing with the sniper rifle across the hood, aimed at the Overwatch
right, okay.
on that.
Gotcha.
So, scrambling, I'm going to assume that scrambling to stand on top of the vehicle is his movement.
That would be like a fast action, yeah. Because it's a fast action to go over a barrier or mm-hmm. around cover, like within the hex, yes.
So, he can't see shit. So, jumping down, would that be his other movement?
No. That going over the truck would all count as one thing. Like, I'd say going up onto it, like, at that point, you'd have your normal other fast action to do whatever you want with, movement-wise. Like, you could move two X's and do a mobility if you want to.
Okay. So, he is going to move two X's and then roll mobility. So, right now, he just headed northwest, I guess, technically, because you gotta go around the vehicle.
That's irrelevant. You could have moved whichever hexes you want at that point.
Oof, no successes.
Do you want to push that roll?
And if I roll another one, I take a point of damage, correct?
Nah, you already rolled a one, so you can't re-roll that one, so you will take a point of damage if you push it, unless you spend a challenge coin to re-roll both.
I'll do a challenge coin.
Okay. So now you get to reroll both of those. But if you get a one on the second one, it still counts as a whatever.
Two successes.
There you go. Two successes. So 20 more meters.
You can only reroll the first die.
He spent a challenge coin.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. You're right.
And do I get one additional mobility roll?
No. That okay. was the fast action to jump on top of the thing. You know what I mean?
Yep. And I need to give you a challenge coin.
Yeah, just throw it out there. I'll delete it later. Emmett, you're up.
Emmett is staring down the sights of Solms. As he has rushed the hill, he sees Cole off to his left-hand side, collapsed in a heap with blood flowing out. He has a flashback as the sniper round hits him in the back in his flak jacket. He remembers being in the desert during the Gulf, running security detail and taking some shrapnel to the back of his flak jacket. It's irritating his old wound where they've had to fuse two pieces of his spine together, and he grits his teeth and sees the sniper come out of the doorway. He makes eye contact with her and says, as his free action, "Drop the weapon!" Fast action aim.
So Overwatch. You're setting Overwatch, essentially, right? Because that's the way this works. For reference sake, the way Overwatch works is you can interrupt another action with Overwatch. So, for example, if she then goes to shoot again,
yes,
you could interrupt that action and shoot before she does. I'm explaining this to both you guys as players and to the audience because we have fucked this one up for 40 some episodes.
We've only used it in like 3, so.
Still, we fucked it up enough times. There are a few times where like it was not obvious, and then there's a few times where I was like, we totally did that wrong. All right. Emmett, roll persuasion.
One success, one failure.
I mean, that should count as an action if it's a persuasion roll. Here's the thing. Okay.
It's shout a few words as a free action. That's what I used.
Yeah, I know, but it was I was trying to figure out the persuading. Yeah. If it was roll warranted or not. It seemed cool, and I rolled. That was all. All right, so yeah, so she comes out that door and like took a shot at Emmett, and Emmett shouts at her, and she still has the rifle up, and she tilts the angle of the weapon slightly, and she looks like she's about to fire Emmett. What do you do? And I'm saying that for dramatic reasons, but I'm letting you know as a player, if you don't shoot, she's shooting.
Then I open full bore with Psalms.
Okay.
Give me a classic Emmett fire.
Fucking Emmett, don't fail. Brian.
Roll me a d6.
Oh.
That is 6 successes. Jeez. In the fucking head.
Holy shit.
Now, just so we do the mechanics properly, because it's more fun this way. Let's see. So, hold on.
It's
a 249. It's a 2-3. So, it wasn't the 240. It was a 249.
You destroyed Psalms. The 240, and it's still on the back. The 249 is Psalms, and that's what I have.
Yep.
Yeah.
249.
Yeah. 249. All right, so that's 6 successes. So that means it's 5 added on top of damage, which means 7, right? So that is
2 crits.
Roll. Is it 3 times? Because it's 2 and then another 2 over. It's 3 times. Roll 3 d10 and take the higher one.
Go figure. Emmett will be the first motherfucker to 7.
7. And this is just because I wanted the fun crit at that point. Brain hemorrhage. All right, so you... I mean, either way, she drops to the ground. Boosh. And we're out of initiative.
Clutch, Emmett. Jeez.
But you hear her over there going... What do you guys do? You can hear her, Emmett. I don't think anyone else is close enough to hear her mumbling and, you know.
Emmett will stand up, walk over, and he'll fire Psalms one solid time, whispering under his breath, "Why, God? Why?" And just put her out.
Well, before you roll anything on this, what are the rest of you guys going to do?
Stanislav does not know combat is over, so he is trying to make it to Harrison to help cover Harrison. He's battle buddy.
Okay, Harrison, what are you going to do?
I'm continuing to run up to where I think Mr. Emmett's in trouble.
All right. Murphy, what are you going to do?
Same thing. He's actually running to a firing position.
Okay, gotcha.
So he'll get to somewhere where he has line of sight and then look through the scope and be like, oh, it's over.
All right, for shits and giggles, approximate where you would be. Don't fuck around with mobility rolls and go from there. All right. You know what I mean? Ballpark it. It's fun. So Emmett stands up, walks over to her, and you think Murphy would have made it that far in one round?
Oh, no, not one
you
round.
You said ballpark.
That's yeah. Not ballpark. That's out. That's fucking Sammy Sosa over the fucking road behind Wrigleyville into the bleachers on the fucking building on the other side of the street.
I didn't know you meant in one round.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's why I was like, don't fuck around with mobility rolls. Just ballpark approximately
okay,
where you would be.
I put him one round. Yeah, right there. In front of the whichever vehicle that is.
Yeah, I gotcha. That's cool. All right, so Emmett, empathy roll.
Oh, no.
That's a 2.
That is a failed empathy roll.
Empathy only fails when he wants to fail.
You still have to roll coolness under fire.
Oh.
Emmett takes a point of stress.
Fuck, of course he does.
Because he would.
So, what's this look like, Emmett?
Emmett basically walks up and does this just almost out of the kindness of his own heart. He had no intention of pulling the trigger when he saw the woman come out, but he also had no intention of dying here on the battlefield today. Emmett is torn in his soul as he looks to God, wondering what the point is. What is he trying to teach him? What is he trying to learn in this instance as he ends this woman sniper suffering?
So you guys hear those shots go off and you hear brrr. Were you just doing like a quick burst? You want to just give me like a one ammo die real quick for ammunition on it? 4. Okay. Just because I know you can't single shot a 249. It's literally impossible. Jeremy, am I wrong about that?
That's the kind of shit that'll get you in trouble. I know.
Fire one warning shot.
Fire a warning shot with 223 or 556. Okay. Not a burst.
Or with a grenade.
Yeah, with a grenade.
Do.
Nope. That's the wrong one.
All right. So, yeah. So you guys hear the from up there on top of the hill. What do you guys? The rest of you guys, you can start making your way to the hill.
Stanislav is going to try to keep up with Harrison as best he can, even though we've already well established that Harrison is a fast-moving mofo. So he's going to do his best to keep up. So I'm picturing Harrison just like trucking it, and Stanislav is probably, you know, 20 meters behind him, just sucking wind, trying to catch up to him.
Murph is going to make his way to... When he's getting up there and he sees Cole, obviously, down, he makes his way over to there, not to Emmett and the girl that was sniping us.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, Harrison and Jankowski would get there before Murph would, route-wise. But yeah. So Harrison and Mr. Jankowski come up the hill. And Murphy stops over at Cole.
What happened, Cap Mammoth?
The sniper has been neutralized.
Your friend over there, is he all right?
We cut over to Cole and Murphy. Murphy, you come up to Cole and you just see him like laying there. And that look in the eyes, you know it when you see it. You come up, you check his pulse, and it's gone. Nothing. And you see where that round went in, you know that's like dead center through his heart.
After checking his pulse, he takes a knee next to him and closes his eyes.
Fuck!
Man, I didn't think you would take it. You're a survivor, Cole. I really didn't think that you would get it. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. He kind of just like drops down to both knees next to him and takes off his Kevlar and just has his head in his hand. Doesn't say anything.
From the top of the hill, Emmett, you hear Murph yell out like that. Wait, actually, real quick. Murphy, wasn't Cole your buddy?
Yes.
Emmett, wasn't Cole your buddy?
Yes.
Both of you guys roll coolness under fire.
One success.
You're good?
One success.
There you go. No more stress. I just wanted to make sure. Skipped that in the past, I think.
That's okay. Murph's already got 2 stress and 5 damage.
So Emmett and Harrison and Jankowski are up there by the sniper, the woman, and she's laying there. She has a, you can see the rifle that she has, that Dragunov that we had talked about before. What do you guys want to do?
Murph definitely wants that weapon. Murph actually gets up and walks over to the, what he now knows is a woman.
Yeah, so you get up there and you see a woman lying there with a dragon off.
He looks at Emmett. He's like, she had skills. She was good. I hope he doesn't have any more of these. And he goes over and picks up her weapon, examines it.
Yeah, you can tell she's fired. I'll just give you the reload. She has 2 magazines worth, except minus 6 shots.
How many rounds do those mags hold?
I don't remember. That's okay. Why I'm telling you. It's
probably
in the player's
10. So one full mag and then another mag that's minus 6.
Yep. Yep.
And what are those, 7.62? I can look it up.
They're 7.62, but they're not the same ones that go in the AK-47.
You want to know the really funny fucking thing there, Chris? If you had picked the M40 bolt-action rifle instead of the 50 cal, you could have used the 240 rounds as sniper ammo.
Yeah.
Side note.
Monday morning quarterback is not very useful right now, Mr. Jeremy.
I mean, sorry. I mean, I thought this was the appropriate time. I thought this was the time.
I mean, admittedly, when we were making characters, I think Jeremy was like, why'd you pick that 50?
I did. Even when we were doing character creation, I was like, don't pick the 50. Whatever. That's fine.
So yeah, so that's what you you see that weapon on her. She has 3 days worth of food left on her and a couple, two rations of water. Are you guys going to search her or what? Or what are you going to do?
Are we burning or burying?
We're burying Cole.
Are we burying them together?
No.
So what about here?
I don't give a fuck.
So as you're searching her body, pulling out the magazines and whatever, just seeing like the rations she has on her, stuff like that, you notice that in like the breast pocket of the shirt that she's wearing, there's a photograph in it. And in the photograph, like you can tell by looking at this woman, even with the head wound, that she's probably mid to late 30s. And you pull a photograph out of her front breast pocket and you see like, it's like a family photo. Her and 4 kids and like her husband is what you would presume. It's like a family picture of them on vacation somewhere. And that's it.
I go dig grave.
She's also not in uniform, by the way. She's in civilian clothes. So you guys are going to go dig graves and shit?
Stanislav is going to go dig a grave.
I help you, Miss Stan.
Thank you, Harrison. I appreciate your help. He's going to dig one for Cole, and he'll decide when he's done digging that hole whether he's going to dig another one or burn the body.
Right.
But he feels like it still deserves something, you know? Mm-hmm.
As you guys are all gathered here, to the west, we can see the sun starting to set on the horizon.